Bring the meeting to order, please. Next, can I please get a roll call?
Kurt Olsted.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Daugherty.
Here.
Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James. Carl Richko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here, first.
Michael Sevetson.
Here.
Michael T. Fang. James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Thank you, Renee. Can you please read the Open Public Meetings Statement?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted the notice on the Highlands Council website.
Thank you. Can you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Takes us to our first order of business, approval of minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second, please.
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James. Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. This is to Chairman's report. I have nothing this evening in the subcommittees. I don't think that otherwise well than items that are on the agenda. So we'll move to the executive director's report. Okay.
I just have two brief items. First of all, you've got the statewide water supply plan some time ago. You may know that the DEP has a requirement to consult with us on that plan. To fulfill that requirement, we're anticipating that Dan Kennedy will be here at the July meeting. That will be the main event for that. DEP has also asked us to submit comments, which you also have in draft form. We're meeting with them on Tuesday, so that they're not surprised by what we post on their public website, but that's moving right along. Okay, and then the other thing I wanted to mention is just the usual update on municipal issued exemptions. Califon Borough issued one exemption 5. Greenwood Borough issued one exemption 1. West Milford Township issued 19 exemption 5s, and Pactown Borough issued one exemption 4, and that concludes my report.
Very short. Thank you, Ms. Mitchell. That takes us to the R&P Amendment Committee. This is release of the draft monitoring program recommendation report that the public deserves. Can I get a motion to put this back on the table for a vote?
Motion to release the report with 60-day comment period.
Second.
A motion and a second. At this point in time, I'll open it up to the public, to the members for discussion. I think everybody had the opportunity, as they requested, to have 30 days to review. And I know Margaret went out of her way to put together a little get-together this afternoon to help hopefully conclude any questions you had. So I think we're in a position to go forward unless I hear something otherwise.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I think that the session we had at 3 o'clock was extremely important. I think that a lot of the questions that I had in my mind were answered, and we've been able to do that last month. We could have solved a lot of problems. I am going to ask one change with regard to the resolution, and that's for a 90-day period for review by the public as opposed to 60.
Well, we initially raised it from 30 to 60, so now you're looking for another 30 when you kept it from the public for 30. So
Chairman, with all due respect, I didn't keep it from the public for 30 days. What I did was ask for information, okay, on the various things. We came in here, this was supposed to be a work session. We were told there was a work session at 2 o'clock to go over the things that were involved in the amendments. That work session lasted 10 minutes. It's not what I expected. It's not what a lot of members on this board expected. Okay, we didn't get that availability. That was given to us today at 3 o'clock. Had that been done last month, we would have avoided the situation we had last month. But it was not given to us. So when you say, I kept it from the public, let's cut it down the middle, Chairman, and call it what it is. It was given to the public. It's going to be given to the public today. It could have been avoided, and we would have had no problem with this. It was not me. It was not the other members of the council. It was the way this matter was handled.
It was not handled badly. It's not an issue.
It was handled badly, Chairman.
I disagree.
No.
George, any other comments?
This is Mr. Chairman, I think 60 days is plenty. This is not new information. The June 10th was 13 years old, passed in 2004. The people who are concerned about the act are familiar with the issues, and I think 60 days is plenty of time to review this.
Sure.
We've been dealing with this, the island staff and the committee, for 2 years, and directly the whole council for 2 years. And here's the document here. It's a lot to digest, a lot to look through, and I think it would be fair to give the members of the public 90 days, and I agree with Judge Dressel.
Thank you.
I'm on the RMP Amendment Committee. I've been there for 2 years of existence, and we had numerous discussions about amendments that would seriously affect the master plan. And the discussions we had, which I had brought up several times, is to the staff and to the other council members, are there any serious things that are going to deteriorate or affect the groundwater, surface water, natural resources? And the conclusion was, no, we have a plan, we have a master plan, we have to stick with it. And it was all due respect to Mr. Dressler, who wants 90 days on this. I've been looking at it for a long time, 2 years, and I think 60 days is enough time for the public to look at this document. And so I agree with the 60-day time limit. And if we go to a vote, I will vote to open it, give it to the public, and vote 60 days. Thank you. Mr. Wall?
Yeah, and for me, 60 days is the compromise. I think 30 days is sufficient for most of what the government does. 30 days is what we do for my $86 million budget as a county freehold. It's what my friends here on this committee give their public to pass new laws in their townships and cities and boroughs and towns. So we're doubling that to 60. I think it's more than fair. So that's where I come down with this.
Any other comments? Roll call, please. Roll call then.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
I'm voting no because I still believe that we need to have a multi-hour work session to go through this report before it's released to the public.
Councilmember Daugherty.
No.
Councilmember Dressler.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James. Councilmember Richko.
No.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefenk.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizzioli.
No.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Passes with 3 votes. So, Margaret, arrange for this to be released to the public as soon as completed.
Yes. Just so the public is aware, this will not be released to you until after the governor's veto period expires. So don't come down the hall at the end of the meeting and expect to get it because you have to wait for a little bit. But we'll get it out as soon as that period is over.
Next item up is Plans Conformance Committee.
Just to confirm, are we to maintain confidentiality regarding this document until the governor?
At least
approves the minutes?
Yep. Yes. Maintain the status.
It's a question, I guess, for both of our legal counsel, our new legal counsel for the state, and our counsel.
We have.
Absolutely not.
My question is this. If someone were to file an OPA request for this document, why would we not be required to release it?
It's a deliberative document. It's not been approved for release to the public. It's a document that's in committee. It's a position I would take if I got over it.
So that takes us to our next order of business, plan performance committee. Consideration of resolution, proposed Highlands redevelopment area, designation, borough of Bloomsburg, Hunterdon County. Can I get a motion on this for discussion, please?
Motion to approve the resolution.
Yes. Second.
Mr. Chairman, if yes. I could just do a little lead in here.
I was just going to call on this.
Okay. Just want to revisit some of the questions that came up at our last meeting. I'm just going to read from the Plan Conformance Committee minutes, which you all had, which the public has, because I think it is a good synopsis. One of the questions that came up was whether this body would have a chance to look at the application again, a bite of the apple question, as Committee Dressler put it. The answer is yes. The applicant eventually would have applied to the NJDEP for a Highlands Preservation Area approval with a redevelopment waiver. We would comment on that. If the applicant applies at the local level, we have a comment to review, an opportunity to review it there as well. And if deemed necessary, Highlands Council has a 50-day call-up for additional review after local approval. So we can see it again if that's an issue for you. Council also requested more information on several areas, which I believe the applicant is going to address today. They are the carbonate rock area, existing on-site septic system, and prime groundwater recharge area. We also noted that the council had concerns with granting a waiver from the prime groundwater recharge policy, as this had never been done before, but this is the reason the staff recommended the condition requiring mitigation for enhanced recharge, which I believe covers all the areas of concern that arose at the last meeting. So that concludes my little setting the table adventure, and I turn it back to you.
And that pretty much covers a lot of what transpired in our
We had some questions on the waivers, and they all went through and so on.
If you don't mind, introduce yourself, Penny.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Council members. My name is Julie Hirsch. I'm an attorney with Archer and Greiner in Flemington, and I represent Stem Brothers, the petitioner for this redevelopment designation. I think you have all of the background on it, but I'd just like to emphasize a few things. We originally started working on this redevelopment petition back in August of last year. We've had pre-application meetings with staff. We've had staff review letters. We were here in February for a hearing, and at that point, we were not able to get enough votes from the council to approve the redevelopment area. Since that time, we've made two submissions. One is a submission of the just from the council's website, the prior 11 redevelopment designations that have been approved by the council, and my assessment of those 11 is that in just about every case, there is maybe not an express waiver of a Highlands resource policy, but at least an implicit waiver. And some of those are quite important Highlands policies, Highlands open water buffers, Tier 1 wellhead protection, and a number of them. And there were two others that we found that did involve some amount of carbonate rock or discussion of carbonate rock on the site. I believe that this is the first applicant before the council that has actually done a preliminary geotechnical review of their site in order to answer the council's questions. And my client was happy to do that despite the cost. And in April, we made a submission of a report from the Geotechnical Associates, qualified engineering group, summarizing the work that was done on the site. Four test pits were excavated, two in situ infiltration tests were done, lab testing of the soils were done, and the conclusions in the GTA report were, in answer to one of the questions that the council members asked, that the soils in the area where the new restaurant would be constructed, the actual soils are consistent with the Hunterdon County soils report. So that was one of the questions. How do we know that that area of the site has soils that are not particularly great for infiltration? The fact that the Hunterdon County Soil Survey says it isn't quite enough, so we obtained actual soil samples to prove that point. Second point that was question was raised was, assuming that there's carbonate rock on the site, are there any indicators of karst conditions? So as you know, you can have carbonate rock geology and have absolutely no problems, or you may have a site that has major sinkholes and subsidence and all kinds of other problems that are evident from the surface. So what we were able to determine was, Mr. Stem is sitting to the left of me. He's been involved with the existing facility, the Citgo gas station and deli and convenience center, for over 10 years. And during that time frame, on that developed part of the site, there has been no incident of subsidence, sinkholes, and the like. He also spoke with the farmer who farms part of his property and the adjacent lot one, who told him over the course of 20 years that he has been farming that area, that he has seen no sinkholes. Additionally, the Geotech Associates report indicates that in their reconnaissance on the site and in the work that they did, they observed no particular karst conditions. So that was the second question was raised, are there any karst conditions on the site that we should be concerned with? Of course, all of this will be taken to the next level of investigation further down the line. Assuming we can get the redevelopment designation, the second step will be in front of DEP for the waivers. If DEP requires anything further, we would have to produce it. But our expectation would be that if we get through those two steps and we're able to come back to the Bloomsbury Planning Board with an application for development, at that point, in conjunction with the site plan application, a phase one and phase two geotech study would have to be done. And that is pretty much the assumption that the regional master plan makes about how carbon rock conditions should be handled. Not really up front, but in conjunction with the site plan, at which time all of the engineering for the site is done, all of the stormwater management facilities are designed, and a determination can be made whether there's the need for any additional engineering and construction measures to protect what is proposed for development. So that's number two. Number three was a question raised, I believe, by Ms. Carluccio about whether the existing septic system on the site is functioning. My client provided all of the septic maintenance records that are filed with the Hunterdon County Department of Health. They show that the tank is regularly pumped in the way that it needs to be. There's no record or incidents of any type of failure. The system is functioning, and you also have a letter from our engineer, Great Plusis, to that effect. So I believe that we've responded to the three questions that were open in a February meeting by providing some additional data, and if there's anything else we can provide, please.
Thank you, Mr. Anybody on the committee want to add to that before I open to the public?
One couple of questions. These reports that were generated, the geotechnical report and the technical report, were they given to our staff here? Have you reviewed them?
Yes. Yes, we reviewed them. We got them back in April, and we reviewed them and brought updated reports to the committee and to the council. We agree with their findings and stand by our original report and our updated report, which basically says that the prime groundwater recharge area, their report confirmed the soil conditions we had seen previously. They now comply with the carbonate rock standard, which is a phase one geotechnical report. We recommend that they continue with that. And as part of the waiver of the prime groundwater recharge area, we recommend that the condition be placed on that they provide enhanced recharge and enhanced low impact development for the site.
Thank you.
At this point, Tom, I'll open it up to the public. Please raise your hand. I'll remind you that you have 3 minutes to speak. Seeing no one in the public.
Oh,
yes,
no comments. Do I need to?
I'm Julia Summers. I'm the executive director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. It's really unfortunate that there was new information made available to the public on which you are expecting us to comment publicly at this meeting. We got absolutely no public, well, that's not quite true. We did read the resolution, and it did mention the fact that you got new information back in May, but it did not make it available to us. So we had to call your office, and we got hold of a copy of it today. In advance of today's meeting, for which we appreciate your responsiveness. But I think it's entirely inappropriate for you to be considering this at all without the public having had an opportunity to review it. It's our position that this is not redevelopment. This is new development. And it is entirely inappropriate for it to be considered as redevelopment. This is a farm field. The location, of course, is in the preservation area, or we wouldn't even be discussing this at all. This greenfield site is not consistent, is inconsistent with the regional master plan. Goal 6J is accommodation of regional growth and development needs through the reuse and redevelopment of previously developed areas, including brownfields, gray fields, and underutilized sites. Policy 6J1, to encourage preservation area redevelopment of sites with 70% or greater impervious surfaces or a brownfield in areas designated by the Highlands Council as Highlands redevelopment areas. This is new development. Now, you can constantly redevelop if you keep adding a little bit of property to your large areas of impervious cover so that it's always going to be over 70% impervious cover. That's complete creep of redevelopment and is not what is anticipated by the regional master plan. The site shows up as a groundwater recharge area and provides 11 to 15 years, 15 inches per year of recharge. This means that 25 to 30% of the rain falling on that site becomes groundwater in an average rainfall year. As we've already discussed, it is underlain with carbonate rock, which is especially good for groundwater infiltration. In fact, I suspect that the sinkhole situation is going to change when you start channeling stormwater onto that carbonate rock, which will almost certainly likely cause sinkholes. There are several existing non-community wellhead protection areas encompassing this site. We really believe that it is important that you deny this, that the redevelopment creep, this is not a redevelopment site, this is a farm field, which is next to, in the preservation area, which is next to preserved lands, and you should not be considering this redevelopment area.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand.
Can I respond to that, though, at some point? No?
Yes, sir.
My name is David Schultz, and agriculture in itself is a form of development. That's number one. Where does the water go that this is a part of the watershed? Does it go to the Musconetcong, or does it go to the Delaware? And also, I'd like to know what the additional costs to the applicant are as a result of this hoop jumping that every applicant that comes before this council has to go through. These are important questions that I would like to have answered. Thank you.
Thank you. If anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application, please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon. I'm Dave Pfeiffer. I'm with the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I've been involved with karst and carbonate rock issues since the original work was done on the RMP. And I can say that it looks like your staff has handled this issue pretty well. However, you've got a sort of Hobson's choice because you need to recharge more to meet the recharge requirement, while a lot of the techniques that we normally use for groundwater recharge of stormwater are dangerous or ill-advised on karst conditions. The fact that they are going to go to a phase two is very important, and I think that's about as far as we can go with your rules. I did notice, though, that there were some suggestions made in the report about possibility of water conservation and off-site mitigation to meet recharge requirements. I would urge the applicant to think about that carefully, because there are parts of the drainage, which is called a Huck 14 drainage area, that are not underlain by carbonate rock, and where recharge facilities could be readily constructed without geotechnical investment. I make that suggestion knowing that there have been a number of sites identified in the area that are already suitable for groundwater recharge stimulation. I don't believe they're in the same huck. They're just right outside to the south in Pahatcock Township. I think the applicant would do well to look at that. The idea here is we want to protect the water, and that's where I'm going with this. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. Basically, this project is inconsistent in many respects with the Highlands Regional Master Plan. And I think from the most recent information that I just was able to see today, that one of the major problems is that it's in a water deficit area. The Huck 14 has a water deficit. And that issue, the issue of the amount of water that's coming out of that area and that's going in, is not being effectively addressed by this proposal. Dave Pfeiffer just mentioned a couple of ways that one might try to address that, but the project is inconsistent from that point of view, from the point of view of the water supply and the availability of water. And that is not being addressed currently. I mean, a number of other inconsistencies are mentioned in the consistency report, the inconsistencies with the water quantity and with the water quality, but not the inconsistency with the actual deficit in the Huck 14. And that needs to be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else?
Yes, good afternoon. Monique Christel, New Jersey Department of Agriculture. I just wanted to point out to the committee that we're talking about an area of 4.5 acres that's looking to expand 3,000 square feet that happens to be next to an open field that's currently in corn. And it's also in the existing community zone. So there's just a couple highlights that I gather from the report that I think that this should be approved as a redevelopment area. Thanks.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Council members, any further comments?
For the executive director, we do have a 50-day callback period.
15.
15.
15?
Right. Yes,
so we will have another bite at the apple, so to speak.
Yeah, more than one.
Any other comments from council members? Yes, sir, Carl.
If you look on page 107 of the Highlands Regional Master Plan, I just want to read to you what it says here about redevelopment. Regional development in the Highlands is intended to take advantage of the opportunities associated with development and or redevelopment of brownfields, grayfields, transit villages, downtowns, and existing centers. I don't think this project, and I voted in my 7 years on the council here, I have voted for most of the redevelopment projects, maybe one or two in the past, maybe I didn't. But I don't see this project as meeting that criteria at all. It's not a brownfield, it's not a grayfield, it's not a transit village, it's not downtown, and it's not an existing center. So I think we're stretching this redevelopment thought to allow this to happen where it's not really a redevelopment area. So I can't support just for that reason.
Thank you.
Mr. Wall?
I'm very familiar with this area, living several miles away from it. This is not some pristine farm field in the middle of beautiful Hunterdon County. This is on a highway access road, a golf ball shot away from downtown Bloomsbury. This is next to one of the most industrialized spots in the Highlands region. It is by a Mack truck dealership, a two gas stations, a truck stop. This is perfectly fine where this is going. I think this is a very worthwhile project. It is, you've got an investor here who's willing to spend money in New Jersey. When he lives and works and operates a business a stone throw away from Lehigh Valley, where everything is cheaper. I can't imagine why we would turn this away. It's the environmental concerns, I think, are overwrought. And I'm supporting the project, and I hope the council does too.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I agree.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to comment whenever I can be slipped in.
Okay.
I agree with Council Member Walton that this is probably a good project, but not in the right place. This is the preservation area, and we were always concerned about impervious cover. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to have more impervious cover in this area, which is in the preservation zone. As Julia Summers pointed out, this is not redevelopment. This is new development. It's an extension to a gas station and build a restaurant or something, whatever is going to be built there. It's new development. It's a field. It's a cornfield.
And to your point, Carl, I think before our meeting here today, we reviewed recommendations and so on, and there was a good discussion, an objective discussion on development as opposed to redevelopment, and I'm inclined to agree, and I think I brought it up at our last meeting as well. It appears to be a redevelopment, not a redevelopment, but a development in pristine area.
I'm sorry, Chairman. I don't need to speak right now, but I do request that I have an opportunity to respond, or this is going to be a replay of our federal meeting.
We'll do a research. I can appreciate that. The subcommittee, Matt, aren't you on the subcommittee? I'm sorry, you are.
Mr. Chairman, yes. I wanted to make a comment.
One second, Tracy. I was just asking a couple members a question. Who's on this committee? I'm sorry, Ms. Carlucci. Please go ahead. Ms. Carluccio.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate the extra work that has been done here and also the supplemental report from the staff. But I'd like to explain that I cannot approve a waiver for a groundwater recharge from the RMP's groundwater recharge requirement. And the RMP spells out really clearly. And it's in the supplemental report under Objective 2B4A that development shall not occur in a prime groundwater recharge area unless necessary to avoid critical habitat, highlands open water buffers, and moderately and severe constrained steep slopes. And this is certainly not that. So we're in violation of that. The box is checked that it's inconsistent for that reason, and I don't see how we get around that. Also, it's not the same when we try to mitigate, and that's one of the reasons this objective is in the RMC. Those areas, the prime groundwater recharge areas, are identified to be protected and left in their natural conditions because the natural conditions have worked out how those areas recharge. And we're going to be messing it up with a high-impact use. Also, under the objective a little further down in the report, 2D4C, it is clear that you minimize this through the implementation of low-impact BMTs. But the problem with this is that it's a high-impact commercial use. And it's imposing a threshold of very high use that is not going to be able to be mitigated, at least not to the standard that it's presently performing at in its natural condition. The draft supplemental recommendation report that the staff did states that the report, the geotechnical report, acknowledges that the site is underlain by carbonate rock, and that's stated throughout this report here, and also acknowledges that further exploration is needed. And because of that carbonate rock. And yet we're going to be approving, or we're being asked to approve a waiver based on enhanced groundwater recharge being used. And we really don't, and I don't feel that we have any certainty that it can be artificially accomplished. So I can't support a waiver for that reason. I think a waiver is a huge deal. We have to have a weight of evidence that shows that there is a reason that we can stray from the RMC policies and objectives, and I don't think we have that here. I do also, just in the conclusion section of the supplemental report that the staff did, want to point out that they talk about the carbonate rock area, and it's inconsistent because of that. They talk about the pine groundwater recharge area, and it's inconsistency. But this is also a consumptive water use in a water deficit area, which by definition cannot sustain increased water use. We're not respecting this. We're just throwing this aside and saying somehow the septic system is going to make up to it. That absolutely cannot be true, at least proven, based on the fact that they're not really talking about how the septic system is going to be expanded and where that additional flow that's going to be needed for this new project is going to go in that existing septic system. So I think, again, that's another big piece that's missing here. So I think based on the supplemental report from the staff, there's no way that I can support approving this.
Thank you, Ms. Farrell-Jew. Any other council member comments? Judge, I know you're on a committee. Did you want to chime in at all?
No, I'm fine.
Sorry.
Just kidding. Do we have an overview of the map available to put up on the screen? And while you're sorting that out, a statement was made during the public comment portion that this property was surrounded by preserved farmland. Is there any fact to that statement?
No,
that is completely untrue. There is no preserved farmland adjacent to the
site. No preserved parkland, no green acres.
No, sir.
What's it currently zoned?
It is located in the, I just consult my notes. It is in the B2 zone, which allows for retail, industrial, and other types of commercial uses in Bloomsbury. It is also in your existing community zone, although it is in the preservation area.
And that black line shows the outline of the actual lot. This is constructed on, right?
Yes, correct.
And that is a rail. That's a rail line behind it.
That is, yes.
That's active freight still.
Correct. Can I ask that? Let me go off for a second. I can't really make that out.
Bill, if you hit the bottom button, there you go.
Now, where's the rail line?
Right here. Right there. That's it.
This trucks along the bottom.
That's the railroad track.
All right. Thanks.
And then, if I'm not mistaken, the other side of that field that's behind there is the old Ingersoll Ranch site, right? Which is pretty highly developed. I think not too far if you were to pan. I don't know if we can do that today, but if I'm not mistaken, you would know, Rob. I think yes. That there's a field and the rail, and then I think on the other side is all of Ingersoll Rand, right? And 78 on the other side, that's a state highway. So the basis for this being eligible for redevelopment and why we're considering it today is because in our master plan we state that if there's a lot in the preservation area that has more than 70% or greater impervious surface, we recognize that as something that should be considered for redevelopment. Is that right, James?
Yes.
So that's why we're here today, and that's how it's eligible.
The RMP policy 6J1 says, to encourage preservation area redevelopment of sites with 70% or greater impervious surface or a brownfield in areas designated by the Highlands Council as Highlands redevelopment areas. And then regarding the waiver, policy 7G2 states that the council can grant waivers from any requirements of the RMP for projects designated as redevelopment areas by the Highlands Council.
Just to supplement what Mr. Humphreys just said, in addition to your RMP, the Highlands Act itself has a provision for redevelopment areas in either brownfields or parcels that are 70% or more impervious coverage. So this is something that the legislature anticipated that the council would be looking at, and you have in fact approved 11 of them so far. So I know that not all of you have agreed with those 11, but this is not an unusual site. In fact, it has a very limited number of Highlands resource areas on it compared to the others that I have reviewed. And I've given you all those prior decisions and staff review reports and my assessment of them, and you can check my facts on that. This, I think, as Mr. Walton described it, is an area that is pretty much surrounded by development. It's in the existing community zone. Honestly, I'm not sure why the legislature looked at it as a preservation area, but you've seen that before. So it does, you know, it's not fair to characterize it as new development. It meets the precise definition in your regional master plan, as well as the Highlands Act, for redevelopment. In terms of the prime groundwater recharge area, that is certainly an area of concern. But what we attempted to prove through the Hunterdon County Soil Service survey, as well as the specific on-site soil testing, was that the area of the proposed new development is not an area where infiltration, it doesn't have the kind of soils that characterize prime groundwater areas. So like many of the designations under the regional master plan, the designations are not site-specific. They're area-wide specific. And what we've attempted to do is come in and say, this is an area, even though it has been shown as prime groundwater area, recharge area, it truly is not, given its soil conditions. And we are able to recharge in other areas of the site to make up for any recharge that doesn't occur in that area. So in addition to all of the suggestions that are made in the staff report.
And I believe the last time you were here, some of the items that were requested by council members, I think you agreed you would have to do, but at a later stage in the approval process.
Yes,
so
Chairman.
You did. Go out of your way to supply that information earlier, even though you could get this application could stop at any point in time during the process.
That's certainly true, and we have no reason to think we're going to have an easy road through DEP, which is the next step, assuming we get to this step.
Thank you. So this was an existing lot prior to the enactment of the Highlands Act, right?
Correct.
But an undeveloped lot.
But approved.
No, it was not undeveloped. It's been developed with a Citgo gas station and a deli and convenience center.
About the extension.
Whoever's speaking right now, you're blinking out. So if you could lean towards the microphone, maybe.
I think she was talking about somebody on the phone, somebody else on the phone. No?
No.
Okay. No. Again, my point was that it was not ever a developed area where you're going to expand. Not the present gas station, the area where whatever you're going to put the restaurant or whatever
that has never been developed?
Well, as a matter of fact, there was a concept development review in 1998 in conjunction with the original development of the Citgo gas station and convenience center. The site plan was just never pursued for that.
But the land has never been developed. It's always been farmland.
Correct.
But I think it's important to differentiate between vacant land being used as farmland and a commercial farm. I know farming because I do it. I own 420 acres or so of farmland. And if I was looking to buy farmland right now in New Jersey, which I always am, I wouldn't be looking right there at the intersection of Route 173 and Route 78. I think we should applaud the guy because he was allowing somebody to farm that couple acres. And the only reason somebody was farming that couple acres is because it happened to be next to a field that he's farming already. I guarantee you, that farming on that portion of that lot is not viable by itself. So to suggest that somehow this is an encroachment of prime agricultural soils and that it is going to impede agricultural production in the state of New Jersey is just a fallacy. We do more to destroy agriculture through these ridiculous solar panel arrays that are put on farmland than this will do. I think we have a responsibility, and the legislature charged us to do it in this act, to balance appropriate growth with the preservation responsibilities we have of the natural resources. So when I look at a lot that's basically part of Phillipsburg, on Route 173, right basically next to the entrance ramps to 78, that has already an existing gas station, a lot that was in existence prior to the enactment of the act, that was already zoned for this type of use, this to me is exactly what the legislature intended the provisions of the act to allow us to do, which is why the master plan says that we can do it.
Ms. Hirsch,
it's
very
appropriate.
Do you have any final comments?
No, thank you, Chairman.
Okay, at this time, I'll call a roll call.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
By way of explanation on my vote, over the last several years, I've developed a real respect for Councilmember Walton. He knows his property probably better than anybody else. I accept his characterization of the property. We do have a second bite at the apple. This map doesn't seem to me as pristine area, and I'm going to vote yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember Richco.
No.
Councilmember Sebetich.
Oh.
Councilmember Tiefenk.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
No.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes.
Approved.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time and attention. No,
thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Next item up is discussion of Bellamy Development Corp.
Yeah, I just wanted to update the council. You have our consistency determination on the Bellamy application. I know that a lot of you are interested in what was going on. As you have undoubtedly read, we have found it inconsistent. We relayed that to the DEP. We don't know at this point how that's going to affect the permit that they issued, but we will certainly keep posted.
Comment that this was done at a plan conformance meeting.
Yes.
Where the plan conformance committee voted yes that it was inconsistent. Nothing else?
That's it.
Thank you.
That brings us to our final public portion. If anybody in the public wish to be heard on any issue, please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
George Stafford from Wharton and the Highlands Coalition. You guys got a rock and roll mic here. You know, you gotta be in here like this. You might want to get a condenser mic and maybe another one for the table so that the poor one doesn't have to run back and forth to the microphone. I used to be an AV guy, forgive me. Seems to be an awful rush going on around here, you know. We're gonna have this 60 days to handle this stuff. I can see us all lying on the beach at the Jersey Shore under an umbrella, thumbing through this thing. really given 2 years on this, I don't understand what the hurry is. Maybe, you know, let it go through the summer and maybe through the fall. You know, some of you guys got elections coming up. I'm sure some of the conservatives are going to want the governor come up and go door to door with them and help them get elected. And then we got the holidays. So I'm coming up with a better idea for a time that...
it's been a quick 8 years.
You might have, I'm sorry?
It's been a quick 8 years.
I think the ideal time to have this thing out on these amendments for the RMP would be the third week in January. It's right between the end of the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl. There's nothing going on that week. Nothing special. There might be something going on at Trenton right there. I'm not sure what it is.
Because you've been out in the sun too long.
It seems like you guys are working against the deadline that you want to get this done. Something's coming up in the near future, something that's going to be a paradigm change in the state of New Jersey. And maybe you get to make these changes on these amendments. But you know what? A year from now, there's going to be a different set of people sitting here, and they're going to undo what you did. Okay. And these gentlemen over here have always been so concerned about spending. You're going to spend money to do this, and the next group's going to come in and spend money to get it undone. So I really think you ought to just take your time and realize that, you know, you've had, what, 5 or 6 years to try and do as much damage to the Highlands Act as you possibly can? Time's up. You guys aren't going to get this done. You haven't done these people in Bloomsbury any favor. That's not going to get finished. They're going to waste their money. They're going to do a bunch of stuff. Your staff is going to go over stuff, and a new group of people are going to come in here and throw the whole thing out. Because people are going to decide that water's more important in the Highlands than another McDonald's. There's two, at least, fast food places in that area as it is. So what do we need? Do we need groundwater recharge? Or do we need another McDonald's? I think groundwater recharge is more important. Thank you.
If I may, I just want to thank you, George, for revealing what we all suspect up here is going on. This is just about politics. I don't think that the members of this council are politically motivated by the timetable for these actions. I look at Judge Ressler's objections for 90 days, and I think he has substantive objections to it. Mr. Zioli, the same. One thing that really aggravates me is when I was appointed to this seat, Senator Smith took the floor of the Senate and said some really harsh, cruel things about me. A man who's never shook my hand until a year later he came to congratulate us for having the 10th anniversary of the Act. The accusation essentially was, we're not going to do our job. We're going to ignore the law. We're going to do all these horrible things to the Highlands region. It's going to be, you know, paved over very quickly. That hasn't happened. To the contrary, the right-wing members of this board, good friend Mr. Vodin, Mr. Alstead, the chairman, we have dutifully followed the law, much to the chagrin and shock of the folks on that side of the room. Part of the job of being a Highlands Council member is approving a regional master plan, and we are late. So if there's a rush, it's because we're not on time with that. Yeah, you can smirk all you like, George. That's fine. But I believe we have an obligation to follow the law, to do our job. Election or no election, whether I get reappointed or not, for your edification, I'm not running for re-election. I've had enough of politics. I just want to do my job here in this council, follow the law to approve a regional master plan as we're required. And that's it. And if I get reappointed, great. If I don't, that's fine too.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. When we were here last month in May, and we talked about Bellmead, and we talked about the fact that there is hopefully a new relationship developing between the Highlands Council and the Department of Environmental Protection because of this finding by the appellate, this decision by the appellate division. Our concern is that the public have an opportunity to have an input to these permits. And we were delighted, I want to say thank you very much for your Bellmead letter. It was great. What wasn't great was that we didn't have an opportunity to see it before you submitted it. And you did have time left to submit it before the 60 days. And I don't know what DEP is going to do with it. It'll be very interesting to see if they just completely ignore it and go ahead with the permit, and then, you know, there will be consequences from that too. I'm sure there's always a consequence. Reaction, action, reaction. But going forward, it is really important that we come up with a process for the public to be involved in these permit decisions. If you decide to do it at the committee level, and I can completely understand this is a lot of work, and maybe it's appropriate to do this mostly at the committee level, you have to let the public come to those meetings. We understand if we're not allowed to comment, but you have to let us come to those meetings. And we'll comment when you make report on those recommendations and ask the council for decisions. But there has to be a way for the public to be involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard in this part?
How's it going? My name is Doug Roussillon. I was here last month hailing from Ringwood, once again hailing from Ringwood. I don't mean to shift the topic of conversation, but most recently the North Jersey District Water Commission just released a study a few days ago, in conjunction with the EPA doing their studies of what's going on with the Ringwood Mine Superfund site, lying a mile upstream from the Wyandotte Reservoir, and their results were very different from what the EPA, Ford, and the Borough of Ringwood has been expressing to us for quite some time. I have here a letter from July 1st, 2005, which was an exemption that was given to work that was going to be done on the Superfund site in Ringwood, the heart of the preservation area, and, you know, a mile upstream from the Wyandotte Reservoir. It was given an exemption. At the time, it was not on the MPL list. It was not a Superfund site, but shortly after that, it did go back onto the Superfund list. And then another letter in 2015, more recent, this is reapplying, I guess, for the exemption of work to be done in the O'Connor Disposal Area section of the Superfund site, and the exemption was given. And I was here last time trying to get the council to hopefully dialogue with me about what you guys feel about the Superfund site. I was reading through this, and it says that it is exempt from exemption number 15, which says that any kind of site that is being remediated is exempt from the Highlands Act. And I think that given that Ringwood is such a unique case, I really implore the council, along with the DEP, to reconsider their decision and reevaluate, given the new information that the commission just came up with. This is not any other kind of Superfund site. This is literally a mile upstream with the tributary river running directly into the Wyandotte Reservoir, which feeds one-third of the state. I'm not here to say you guys aren't doing your job. That is not my cause. No one is paying me to be here. I hear that there are rumors that people get paid to come here. That is not me. I am here on my own time, truly believing that there might be something that you guys could do. This is a very serious situation, and it's not politics. There are literally lives at stake. And I think that if you guys were to put your heads together in dialogue like you just were for this permit for, you know, whatever it was, I'm not saying that the farms aren't important. I'm not saying any of that's not important. But this is something that is not nearly getting enough attention as it should. And, I really don't think that there's people here who are trying to dismantle the Highlands Act, but to be honest, given this letter from 2005, with a situation like Ringwood getting an exemption, the act has never had the teeth that it should have. So no one really needs to do any work, George, to really dismantle it, because it's already dismantled from the very beginning. If it came in 2004, and it already had an exemption in 2005. If there's any kind of information I could give to you all, I would definitely love to be that vessel. We have a community advisory meeting, a CAG meeting on Monday in Tuxedo at the New York School of Medicine. I implore some of you guys to be there, and please get informed.
Thank you for your comment. The reason the approval, that approval is from the Act, not from the Regional Master Plan. The Act is written by the legislature. We can't circumvent the Act. Otherwise, there's several people that might want to try to. But we are not able to circumvent the Act. So while you see that approval from the Highlands, it's dictated by the verbiage in the Act. So it wasn't approved by this body, per se.
Well, thank you. Again, if there's anything I can provide to you guys to help you guys get more educated and maybe put some heads together,
thank you.
I'll do that.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Why don't you guys get up?
Yeah. Thanks for letting me speak here today. My name's Hank Klump. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area. In 2004, many people had their lives changed when McGreevy, in his last-ditch effort to save his reputation, signed the poorly written, seldom-read Highlands Act. My 150-acre farm, with many other, contribute to the huge land grab that certified lands in what was then said to be in the name of Save the Water. Politicians come close to showing babies suffering from dehydration. Of course, only 13 years later, property owners still have not been compensated for what was a political, not scientific, property value grab. I have asked since day one to see a scientific study that put my farm in the Highlands Preservation Area. And believe me, no one can find it. However, in the meantime, the New Jersey Water Supply Authority gets its water supply for free. Why, I no longer have any equity in my property. I, with others, am paying the price for 10 golf courses in the Raritan Basin system to water the lush grass. The 10 golf courses use over 1 million gallons of water daily. Each golf course only pays pennies for this water. Who is taking advantage of who? If the Highlands Act was designated to conserve water, how can this waste of water be justified? When it is also being reported that New Jersey uses 10 of million gallons of water more a day than the watershed can safely supply. I and others are being punished by having my land value in equity taken, not to hydrate babies, but to water golf courses. Don't you think something's wrong with this action? I do. And they buy this for 1 million gallons, they pay $231, I think it could be. That was in 2012. So, there's something the matter here, guys. I don't know what else to say, but my time's up. But thanks again. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Gentlemen in the back.
Chuck Urban from Clinton. Number one, I'm glad to see that gentleman, because for a minute I thought Bloomsbury was actually part of the Highlands. And it's pretty interesting. I appreciate some good thoughts by a gentleman that actually can see what's really happening out there. The RMP, I'm hoping that when it comes out, it will have some sort of language in there that will help people like Hank to actually be made whole for his land being effectively taken from him. I hope some of that was addressed in it. I'm waiting to see it. And I hope when I write my comments for it, will not be seen with a blighted eye. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to be clear, what's being released is not a new regional master plan.
Pardon me?
It's a recommendation report that would take further action.
Yeah.
To be clear. Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and I have a farm in Lebanon Township. Deadlines, we're worried about deadlines. Smith made a promise back in 2004 when he was speaking at Ringwood at a public hearing that he and the governor would find the money to make us whole. I've submitted comments, his comments are verbatim to you in the past. Apparently, he's in no rush, and I don't believe he was speaking the truth when he said it. I think he said what was expeditious to silence critics who were his fellow senators at this hearing. And I also wonder how any part of the Highlands can be noted to have a water deficit area when the same Highlands provides water, according to all these experts here, to 70% of the state. How can an area that supplies water to 70% of the state have a deficit? It can't. It's foolish. It just makes no sense. The word pristine is tossed around routinely. I'm glad to see what a definition of pristine is when you put that slide up on the board. Now I know what pristine looks like. When I asked Weingart, when he was sitting in your chair, Mr. Riley, when I noted that the word pristine meant untouched, I asked him how many decades it took for virginity to be restored. I'm still waiting for that answer. Don't toss words around that are absolutely meaningless. Septic consumption uses 20% of the water. Where this water is shipped, 100% of it is shipped out to sea as quickly as possible. This isn't about water. This is about confining growth to a certain part of the state where the politicians in Trenton, who are in control and have been for decades, wanted to grow for their own advantage. It has nothing to do with water. It is phony. It is a phony issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? You probably had your opportunity, sir. Anybody else in the public? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. We do not have an executive session. We're looking to adjourn, please.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.